Welcome to your go-to source for entertainment.
Wait for it.
Gaming.
Wait for it.
Anime.
Plus Ultra!
Mr. Eric Almighty and Phil the Filipino? Yeah, they've got you covered. And all you gotta do is wait for it. This is the Wait For It Podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Wait For It Podcast. I am your co-host Phil Smith, aka Phil the Filipino. And joining me as always is your other co-host, Mr. Eric Almighty. And Eric, we are here with the April edition of Late to the Party. And what may be, honestly, the most anticipated episode of Late to the Party in Wait For It Podcast history. If I do say so myself, what started as a meme has become a reality, as today we are discussing the 2011 cinematic classic that is Real Steel. And this movie, Eric, again, it kept coming up again just as a joke, and then more and more people kept jumping on the Real Steel bandwagon because it has seen a little bit of a resurgence and interest because it had been added to Netflix within the past year. It is now gone and is not on there anymore. But it did receive a little bit of a resurgence and an interest because people are wondering what the status of the franchise is, which we will touch on here a little bit. But Eric, as for those of the people that are not Patreon members, they do not have a feel of how this is going to go. I have an idea of how it's going to go. And you know what? I don't care because this is going to be your comeuppance for putting me out there to talk about Spirited Away and The Boy in the Hair and all that stuff. So, Real Steelheads, unite as my ring light falls.
That's what you get. Honestly, straight karma. Yeah, I don't think I am going to face the wrath that you felt, but who knows? There could be, for all five of you that love Real Steel, we met two other Real Steelheads.
That's not true.
On What Did I Miss? So, for the other two that are out there, come at me. This was a good time. We're going to have a great episode here. A nice brisk episode is how I would describe it. A nice brisk movie is what I saw in Real Steel. And Phil, I'm going to leave it up to you. Ask away. Ask me all the questions you want to ask about Real Steel, because after this episode, we will never discuss Real Steel again.
Well, that's not true. It's going to live in infamy amongst the Way Forward podcast forever. So that's not true. And everyone is going to consistently bring it up for the rest of time. Whenever they see you, whenever they join us here on the Way Forward podcast, I'll make sure that everybody is prepped. The stuff that happened with Trey over the weekend, as far as What Did I Miss? I didn't even plan that. He just brought it up himself. Same thing with Botter being a big fan of the movie.
I can't take toxicity. This is a toxic work environment.
Well, for those of you that are brand new to the podcast, or if you need a little bit of a refresher, this is the monthly recurring series called called Late to the Party, in which we will watch films, TV shows, whatever it may be that we are late to the party. You know, a lot of these films and TV shows came out a while ago, and you know, we found ourselves watching them, you know, very recently. I think I watched this back in like December, and again, it just kept coming up again and again, and here we are. So for those of you that are looking for all the rest of our content, as well as other episodes of Late to the Party, make sure you stick around to the end of the episode. We'll let you know where you can find all of that. So, without further ado, my Real Steelheads, we will dive into this film. As I mentioned, it came out in 2011. It stars Hugh Jackman and Evangeline Lilly, and it was directed by Shawn Levy, who has directed many, many films that we are fans of, Eric. The premise of the film: in the near future, robot boxing is a top sport. A struggling ex-boxer feels he's found a champion in a discarded robot. So, this is a film that definitely came and gone, or came and went, when it had initially come out. And I had just been seeing, like, you know, there will be a trend on Twitter where people will be like, what's a film that you did not expect to be so good or is better than you expected? And like, Real Steel kept coming up. And I was like, there's absolutely no way that I'll enjoy this film. And much like a film that I found myself enjoying a lot more than I thought it would last year in Gran Turismo, I came away from Real Steel being like, this is a pretty good movie. I had a really good time. I think it has a lot of heart when it comes to the characters and the story that it tells. And then it has a lot of really good as far as not CGI, but as far as like the effects that were used, a lot of work went into that. And I've seen more articles coming up as far as like sequels and, you know, TV shows, whatever it's going to be. But we'll talk about that a little bit down the road. But Eric, you have most recently watched this. Did you watch this by yourself or was this a family viewing? How did this go down?
Yeah, so unsurprisingly, my family had already seen it without me, because I do recall a conversation. Would you like to watch Real Steel with us? And I said I could do so many other things. So that's what I did. That's what I did. Unlike Phil, if there's not a movie that just like really compels me to watch, I can't sit. I just can't. My attention won't sit there. But had I sat there with my family, I would have enjoyed it. As I sat here alone and watched it by myself today, so it'd be fresh on my mind, I enjoyed it. So I think the same results ended up happening whether I would have been in the theater, seen it with a family member, watched it with myself. It's a nice movie.
I don't believe you. I just picture you watching it in your game room, just upset the entire time that you had to watch it to begin with. I just want to let you know that you talked me into this. We didn't have to do Real Steel.
It was
just going to come up for the whole year, but you didn't have to watch it.
Well, if it's going to come up this much in my life, I might as well have an opinion about it. Like, I might as well be educated.
I disagree.
And have an opinion. No, I'm not like you, who will argue about franchises and stuff you've never seen and refuse to watch. No, I'm not going to be you. So I watched it. I did my deed.
We're talking about like the two anime that I didn't want to watch that you recommended.
It's more like 20.
No, I don't think so. Again, this movie I didn't even know until I had kind of looked into it. It had actually been nominated for an Oscar when it came to its prosthetics and the behind the scenes that came as far as working on the robots and things of that nature. So this is a movie like, again, those are things that you just don't expect to hear about. Oh, best achievement in visual effects is what it was nominated for in 2012. This is not a movie in which, you know, you're going to see Hugh Jackman deliver a best actor performance or Evangeline Lilly best supporting. That's not what's happening here. What happened in Real Steel is that I had a lot of fun watching it. And I think it would have been a lot of fun to see in theaters. And I think, like you said, like you pointed out in the beginning, Eric, like you're not going to watch a lot of films that you know that either you're not necessarily going to enjoy, movies that you know are just okay. And we spend our time differently now. I am in a different era of my life right now when it comes to what I'm consuming, what I'm watching. And I put this on while I was at work, and I found myself paying a lot more attention to it than I should have because I was on the clock. But I thought the chemistry between the son and the dad was really good. I thought Hugh Jackman delivered a very by the book, by the numbers, campy, but heartfelt performance. Like, this is not a story that you haven't seen before. In fact, Sean Levy, the director, directed another story that we actually, I think, like more than other people in Night at the Museum. That's very similar, right? A strained father-son relationship. This one just happens to be Rock'em Sock'em Robots. And I think it's cool when you throw shit in there like that. That's why I had a lot more fun with the Godzilla franchise or with the Monsterverse than you do. I just like throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks and has a good time. I also want to say, I didn't give this like a 4 or 4.5 on Letterboxd. I just really enjoyed the movie. And I think there is a lot here for people who haven't seen it, who maybe tossed it aside for the same reasons that we did back in 2011.
Yeah, you know, Phil, this movie is fine. It's great. It is. I'm glad to hear you did not give it a 4 or a higher, because I'm going to be honest with you. I was worried, and I think you're actually going to...
Did I? Hold on. Please, continue, but please, I'll just double check.
You can't. You're going to lose all credibility, please. You know, we'll talk about my rating probably by the end of it. I'll give an unofficial one off of my first viewing, but I don't think we're going to be that far off. I did enjoy this. You know, you talk about Hugh Jackman, and who doesn't want to see Hugh Jackman yelling and pretending to box, basically shadow boxing, right? Like, that's absolutely going to get you in there. He tries his best to play a piece of crap dad, and somewhat succeeds, you know, in that. There is some heart here, for sure. I just don't know, Phil. I think this is one of those movies where it doesn't overstay its welcome, and we'll talk a little bit about the plot. I think we're going to talk pretty freely about Real Steel. Not much to spoil and ruin your experience if you haven't seen it, so stick around. But I would just say that this is a by-the-numbers story, characters, all of that. It doesn't necessarily overstay its welcome. But like a lot of movies that are in this limbo of movies that I've ever seen, it also doesn't stick around long enough to have anything really meaningful to say. And it does try to say some things, but there's just not a lot behind it. And am I expecting a Oscar-nominated story out of a two-hour movie based off of Rock'em Sock'em Robots? No. But I don't know. It just felt a little hollow when it came to the plot and some of its characters and their choices. Because this movie, pretty much breakneck speed at some point, just going through the motions, it felt like. Which, again, wasn't a bad thing, but also didn't help.
I don't know, man. As far as, like, the story goes and the story it's trying to tell, the lessons it's trying to teach, you know, obviously there are a lot of... There's a ton of symbolism in this in terms of, you know, corporate entities and all of that stuff. And, at its very base level, when it is a movie that is meant for families, I think that works perfectly fine. And I think that's why, again, because this movie was a hit, like it was a commercial success to the point where they had immediately started talking about a sequel. As far as box office numbers, I have that up in here in front of me. So, I mean, a budget of $110 million and it made $300 million. In the box
which
office.
Is wild.
That's a success.
Yeah,
that's a success. Again, this movie just came and gone because whenever I had seen trailers for it, I mean, I don't know what we were doing in 2011, but we certainly were probably only seeing like Marvel movies and, you know, stuff that we really knew about. We weren't really in the business of searching and looking out IPs that were unfamiliar with us, which is now, you know, what we're finding ourselves doing now. Obviously, Rock'em Sock'em Robots is, you know, what is what people think about, but it's not. I didn't know this also, Eric, because I looked up this Collider article when it came to talking about what happened to Real Steel 2. It came out back in December. Apparently, there is a Rock'em Sock'em Robots movie coming out with Vin Diesel. So you tell me, would you rather watch this in 2024 or watch Rock'em Sock'em Robots with Vin Diesel in 2026? I feel like I gave you a better option here.
I could have watched neither. I think you're just forgetting about option C.
No, you're going to have to watch one or the other.
You won't let option C happen where I don't have to watch any of these movies. You have to make me watch at least one. And honestly, Phil, knowing your track history, like your track record and your history, you're going to fall in love with that Vin Diesel movie. So I don't know what to tell you.
No, hold on. Listen, my least favorite thing about the Fast and the Furious franchise is easily Vin Diesel. So don't. Don't you put that evil on me.
I don't know. You seem like a Triple X kind of guy.
Triple X was good. What do you mean?
There
Triple
you go.
X
was a good there you movie. Go. Right there. I just.
What are you talking about?
I named the first Vin Diesel movie that came to mind, and you were like, but it's good. Oh, my
it
God.
Is a good movie. Triple X is a good action movie. What are you talking
That's
about?
That's fine. You can watch, a very popular you can watch that. Movie. You can watch all the Riddick movies. It. You can have all of them.
Okay. I haven't seen the Riddick movies, but I know those are really popular. So you're just naming off.
I know, but you've defended two straight Vin Diesel movies. The Pacifier.
Because Riddick is. Okay, the Pacifier is not good. It's okay. It's got Brittany Snow. And that was, but it was not a good movie.
This is where you brought the conversation, is the Pacifier. That's where we've ended up. It's out of control, right. Phil. This is what Real Steel will do to you.
Pacifier late to the party. May 2024, past the Pacifier. We're going to revisit the Pacifier. We're going to actually do a new series in which we revisit movies that we've already seen before that we think are bad that are actually better than they were. You're going to watch Triple X, Chronicles of Riddick, and the Pacifier. We're just going to do a Vin Diesel episode, actually, is what we are going to do. But
wild.
We got very off track there, but this is a fun film. Again, this was a few years after Hugh Jackman was like hadn't been named like you know sexiest man alive, and he was at the height of it. I'm not sure where we are in the X-Men timeline for Hugh Jackman here, but I mean, I think he was a good get. Evangeline Lilly was very popular at the time because of Lost. So I think she was a good get too. I think they have a, I think I liked their chemistry. While they probably didn't spend enough time on it, but like, it, again, it's not a love story. It's about the, you know, it's about a father-son relationship. Again, I thought the fights were really cool. I really enjoyed the robot boxing. I thought the kid was pretty charming. Funny enough, because again, in the articles that I came across in this Collider article, you know, when they are talking about a sequel, it seems like the son, the guy who played Max, doesn't act anymore. He hasn't been in anything since 2014. So if they were to move forward, it'd be interesting to see what they did. Well, obviously they would have to recast, and who even knows if, you know, Hugh Jackman would be part of it at this point. Didn't expect to see Anthony Mackie. That guy just pops up in movies in the mid-2000s that you didn't know that he was in.
That's very true, although it was very disrespectful. I believe the scene in which he's introduced, they're playing Lose Yourself by Eminem. I didn't appreciate
that. Yeah, that's right.
They really liked Eminem in this movie.
Listen, this is the most like 2010s movie that has, I think, ever existed.
Transformers picked Linkin Park, and Real Steel right. picked Eminem.
And Real Steel think got
that's
Eminem.
Just how it went.
But I think the point of this is to say, and I'm glad you didn't absolutely hate it. You're upset that you had to watch it, but it is, I think it is a fun family film. And that is what I was saying whenever I had watched it. I was like, oh, I like how has this like escaped my, you know, my vision for the longest time, because it does have all the elements of movies that I very much enjoy now. Really dumb, a lot of good fights, you know, really corny storytelling as far as like when Lose Yourself kicks in, or what was the other Eminem song that played at the end of the
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Was it Till I Collapse?
I think it was Till I Collapse. It probably was. That's what perfect. I would pick if I was
Till I Collapse
movie.
Crescendos as Adam walks through. Man, sign me the fuck up. And if and this is for me that like I never really watched like BattleBots. Did you watch BattleBots as a kid? I didn't watch any of that stuff. Obviously, we're talking about much smaller scale.
Is BattleBots the one where literally they make the robots and fight them in the arena? Oh yeah, I used to love that.
Yeah, so like those are like very I very like occasionally crossed my path in my watch history when I was younger, but I thought it was big, dumb, stupid fun. And I do think there is a space for a sequel. Now, at one point, Sean Levy had talked about maybe a TV show on Disney Plus, as people were kind of like making suggestions about that. And I think that could work, but only if you got Hugh Jackman involved. Like, if you're going to recast the same character or give us a new character in the same universe, I'm not really interested, to be honest. Like, the whole interest of the film for me was again the father-son relationship, and then like it does build up to, you know, there's not a clear-cut winner, which I think also was good. They could have gone the whole underdog route and the whole Rocky route and all that kind of stuff, but I just don't think I certainly wouldn't be interested, and I know you wouldn't be, in another in-universe film or TV show with totally different characters. I don't think that would work. It would have to be Hugh Jackman returning, you recast an older Max, and then kind of go from there. Obviously, they already work with Evangeline Lilly, so they could probably get her involved. She's been a little controversial as of late, but I think they could probably bring everybody back, aside from recasting Max, and kind of go from there.
I mean, as long as you have Hugh Jackman, you can recast them all. Like, that relationship was not like, they're in love, I have to see them together. This isn't weird comparison, but the first person that comes to mind, this isn't a Rachel Weisz in The Mummy, where when they make the third one, they recasted her, and that was like the death toll for that movie. Like, you can't do that.
Who did they recast? Who was her? Who played?
Don't even remember. That third one is so bad. It is so unbelievably bad. And again, an example of a movie I normally would never watch. I can't even remember the context and why I watched it. But there we were. Maybe more curiosity than anything. When I was younger, maybe I gave in to those. But I digress. All that to say, Hugh Jackman is the key to that film working. I think if they just brought him back, it could work with Phil. I think that's one of the knocks on this movie, is that like, if it was to come back, like, it's a nice watch. Again, it's a nice watch. But if it's going to come back and actually have something to say or hold some type of weight, it needs to be more adult, which I don't know is going to be the direction they take. Nor do I know that that's what I want to see. They're going to have to do it again for kids. So maybe not the same story. Maybe it is fast forward, but they're going to have to make something for today's audience. Because again, we're not the target audience. We weren't back in 2011. We're not now. So the directions they could take with it are all, I guess, interesting, but not to me. And that's kind of one of those things I sat with when I left the, when I let the credits roll, was not like Edge of Tomorrow, where that was a movie we talked on this series that we'd be interested to see what they would do with it. This, obviously, a much different movie. I just walked away saying, yeah, that was cool. Never going to watch it again, and not really interested in anything else that it has to say.
Yeah, it would, again, I think as far as like the fights and stuff like that, I will say, so if like if Rock'em Sock'em Robots comes out and the really big, like, hardcore fans of this don't like, you know, the fighting in it, then it's dead on arrival. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to watch Rock'em Sock'em Robots, but there'll probably be a portion of this audience that has been waiting for a sequel to come out. They'll be like, well, this will have to do, you know, like, spiritual successor kind of thing. And I just, and Vin Diesel is also a producer on that project, so I just don't trust him to do anything correctly with that, all jokes aside. So I think they could probably pull it off. I mean, as far as a show, I don't see Hugh Jackman at this stage of his career signing up for that. And, you know, we've seen so many examples of them trying to recast a major actor or actress, and it just does not work. So they couldn't do that. But I think as far as, like, the conversation, much like Edge of Tomorrow or Live, Die, Repeat, whichever you want to call it, I think now the conversation is as loud as it's been in a very long time, because it did taper off for a little bit. I definitely think these studios and these movie executives are very strategic with their releases. Like, you put this out on Netflix, it starts making rounds on social media, and here we go. Again, Collider does an article about it in December of 2023 about, hey, where is Real Steel 2? So it's smart. I really, really enjoyed this. When it comes to, as far as these reviews, you know, again, we're talking about a 13-year-old movie here. So it does have a 60% tomato meter score, so not rotten, not certified fresh. And then a 73% audience score. I would like to see some of those from more recent. I will say, like, as far as Letterboxd goes, there are a lot of recent reviews, because, again, probably when it hit Netflix, people were like, oh, let's check this out. It does have a 3.3 average rating on Letterboxd, and I'm pretty much right in line with that there. I gave it a 3.5 upon initial watch. I have not watched it again. I thought about watching it again before seeing this or before recording this episode. But will I watch it again at some point with maybe somebody who hasn't seen it? And we're just like shooting the shit, and we put a movie on in the background, and somebody hasn't seen it. I was like, oh, yeah, Real Steel is a good time. I probably do that. But a 3.5, again, I don't think this is some masterpiece of a film, but I just think it was, for a movie that I enjoyed as much as I did, it just surprised me that it had taken me 13 years to see it.
That's understandable. This movie was a 3 for me, just a flat 3. Phil, you gotta stop with the ring light. Please be professional here. This is the curse of Real Steel.
help.
This is the curse of Real Steel. Yeah, this movie is a solid 3 out of 5. It's not one of the worst films I've ever seen. It's, you could say painfully average. You feel a little bit differently. You liked it a little bit more. I also think I take movies too seriously to enjoy something like this. So again, I like to get some type of substance out of my films. Mind you, I love, like, kids' movies. Puss in Boots, The Last Wish, continues to climb into my top 10. Not just animated films.
See, that's a top bad 10. That's a bad example. Puss in Boots gives you incredible storytelling. So,
but
I,
you can do both. But that's, no, it's a perfect example for the simple fact, while it's a much different movie, you can do both. You can have a movie that caters to kids and does, you could say, some traditional story beats, but you can also make it very unique and very interesting. And Puss in Boots isn't the only example. It's a much different movie, right? But there are a lot of examples out there of movies that can do both. This movie film, we pretty much just get shoehorn story after shoehorn story, and we keep going in, and we're not taking the plot that seriously. It's like your Godzilla versus Kongs, if you want me to go there, you know, your MonsterVerse movies. I can never give those movies, sorry Dylan, more than a 3.5, because those movies don't warrant that type of score. It just is what it is. Real Steel is what it is. It just takes you through a nice, brisk story. It kind of skips the complicated or interesting story beats that I'm looking for in a movie, and it just gets to where you want to go. I will say, I do enjoy that there's not like a full-on training montage and you don't have to fully climb the ranks. But let's be honest, challenging for the championship in your first tournament match is wild. Clear plot device there. Plot armor. I don't, you know, for lack of better words, I don't know what to tell you. That is crazy, but I appreciate them not stretching this movie 30 more minutes to get there.
Okay, you heard it here first. Eric wants a Rocky 1, 2, 3, and 4 for real steel. So executives, Sean Levy, you listen to this episode.
I haven't even watched the Rocky movies. Full... We could have started the Rocky movies instead of real steel.
Why would I watch 4 Rocky films and the Michael B. Jordan ones when I could watch 1 real steel? How many robots are in Rocky?
I don't know the answer to that, actually. So that's okay. The problem.
It's probably less than real steel. So
people that listen to this episode almost 30 minutes in are like, these people don't even know Rocky. Why are we listening to them?
No. That's the whole purpose of this, because, again, if we can't watch 1 Rocky movie, we would have to, just like we couldn't watch 1 Indiana Jones film. So is Rocky on the table? Sure. But I'm not going to watch Rocky 5. I'll probably watch 3. You can probably convince me to watch 3 and then maybe 2 Creed movies, but not anytime soon. So, but again, I'm just glad that she didn't absolutely hate it, because I think this movie is a lot of fun. Sequel, no sequel. I think it's fine where it exists in this moment. And I'm glad that people are starting to see it and experience it again here all these years later. But Eric, anything else you want to mention about your favorite robot boxing film that you have ever seen before we wrap up this episode?
You know what? This episode is already way longer than I thought it would be. So you did a really great job, Phil. Kudos to you. Stretching.
Great,
this
I got
out.
A game. So let's do real
stuff. Please, no. Please.
What if I had a game? What if I had a whole Jeopardy board of real steel?
Now you have to put the Steve Carell, though. Oh, God, no. You're going to have to do it.
Oh, Jesus. Man.
Phil, I have nothing else I think I
now what
I
am
really
I going to talk
say.
About? For I got to find a new real steel for May to December.
You don't. We have a lot of movies. And the next movie on this series that we are going to be covering is going to be Mad Max Fury Road, because Phil, for some reason, wants to watch Furiosa, and he's going to have to watch that movie beforehand. So we are going to talk about that movie late to the party. So Mad Max Fury Road, look forward to that. A much different movie than Real Steel. So just remember how much he enjoys Real Steel, because if he comes into the next episode and we reverse roles, I want you guys to remember this. Just remember it. It's crucial, because accountability, credibility is important here.
I think you're underestimating the Real Steel fans that are going to show up in our mentions. Once again, Real Steel heads unite. But folks, thank you so much for indulging us for this conversation here today for the April edition of Late to the Party. The month of April is chock full of great content. If you want to find out where you can find all of that content, you can go to the Linktree link in the show notes of this episode. It will lead you to our social media pages, the most important ones being Instagram, TikTok, as well as our growing Discord page. We will probably be adding another form of content here very, very soon that I have been working on very diligently with one of our good friends of the shows, Jordan, and hopefully I'll have more news on that very, very soon. If you want to find all the rest of our episodes, again, head on over to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, leave us those 5-star reviews. They are so helpful, so beneficial. We don't know why, but please leave those 5-star reviews where you can. You can also share the content wherever you're listening, whether it be, Twitter, Instagram, anything like that. Tag us, let us know, and let other people know that you're enjoying the content. And if you find yourself wanting to support the show a little bit extra, Eric will let you know how you can do that.
Yeah, so there's a couple ways you can support the show and go beyond. If you want to, I'm going to just be frank with you, send us money, because we had to watch Real Steel to create this episode. You can go directly to our Buzzsprout page and do that, or you could take those funds and you can bring them over to Patreon, where patrons like Stefan and Briar are helping out the show, and in return, getting exclusive behind the scenes and early access to episodes like this one. But everything Phil just mentioned including all the free stuff, which we appreciate. Just listening to the episode, likes, comments, shares, etc. We truly appreciate you, and we can't wait for you to enjoy the rest of this month's lineup. With that all being said, my name is Mr. Eric Almighty. That is my co-host, Phil the Filipino. And please don't forget, we release new episodes on the podcast every Wednesday with bonus content on platforms like TikTok. And all you got to do is wait for it.
So, I heard you're looking for a go-to source for entertainment.
Wait for it.
Gaming.
Wait for it.
Anime.
Plus Ultra!
Mr. Eric Almighty and Phil the Filipino? Yeah, they've got you covered. And all you gotta do is wait for it. This is the Wait For It Podcast.